In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Whenever I'm asked the question about Bibles and what kind of Bible to use, well, of course, there is on the one hand only one Bible. Well, actually, there's not. There's lots of different Bibles. But which translation to use? I always suggest to get a modern translation. I mean, I love the King James Bible, but we don't speak in Elizabethan English, so why do we read it? But then, having said that, there are some translations, modern translations, which really cannot capture that translation of certain texts that we have grown up with. And one of those texts is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know how many of you are aware, but the organist at Bangor Church is a vet. He's not an army vet. He's a veterinary surgeon, has his own practice. He's a gentleman. He's a big man. He has big, strong hands. So when he's not playing the organ in church, he's with the Amish farmers whose farms dot the countryside around Bangor Church. And much of the time, he's out in the open working with the cattle and sheep, goats and mules that are very much a feature of the Lancaster County landscape. Bangor Church is the oldest church in our diocese, founded in 1722, before the late unpleasantness. It was founded by families who had emigrated from Wales in the 18th century. So whenever I visit Bangor Church, and I will be visiting it at the end of the summer when I'm actually doing a wedding for the current rector there, he's going to be out playing bagpipes. That's what he likes to do, and he'd arranged to do this wedding and then discovered that he couldn't because he was going to have to be playing bagpipes, so while he's playing bagpipes, I'm going to be doing his wedding. You get the story, anyway. So whenever I go and visit Bangor Church, I often feel it's like stepping back into a Thomas Hardy novel. Those of you who have ever read Thomas Hardy, Tess of the D'Urbervilles, Far from the Madding Crowd, and so on. In a Thomas Hardy novel, almost every character is a person of the land, a farmer or a farmhand. So what with his weather-beaten features, whenever I meet him, I think the organist at Bangor Church is not at all your typical vet. I don't know many vets who are church organists. But he is your typical church organist of days gone by. So what can be said of the vet come organist at Bangor Church could be said of shepherds in general. You know me, I'm a Google Earth fan. I love Google Earth. They ought to venerate, they ought to make Google a saint, you know. But if you go on Google Earth and you focus on the northern part of Britain, and go and look at the areas where there's no buildings, where there's no towns. Go into where all the moors are, and if you zoom in, you see little white dots all over the place. their sheep. Their sheep. Their sheep on the moors. Years ago, one of the most popular, I've told folks this before, one of the most popular television programs many years ago on the BBC was called One Man and His Dog. It was about shepherding. And in the space of 1 hour, people who had probably never set eyes on a live sheep, and certainly not a real shepherd, got to witness how stupid sheep can be, and how ruthless the shepherd and the dog can be in caring for the sheep. When I lived in Scotland, I lived next door to a shepherd, a retired shepherd from the Highlands of Scotland, who used to regale me on long winter nights with stories of his life as a shepherd. It was a rough life. It was a hard life. And certainly when I was back in England walking the Highland moors, where the weather can change in a moment, you can go from a sunny, bright day into soaking rain that will freeze you to the bone. And it can do that in a moment. I got to witness at first hand the hard work of shepherding and know the benefit of a sheepfold. You know, we tend to romanticize things. We romanticize our faith. We romanticize sheep and shepherds as they are portrayed in the Bible. And we romanticize Jesus. We portray Jesus dressed in crisp white vestments with a lamb, very tame lamb, around his shoulders, usually Anglo-Saxon. And you'll find him in church windows, in Sunday school books, in works of art. There is a gentleness about the man that belies the reality. Like life, there is nothing romantic about sheep or shepherds. That's why the theme of sheep and shepherds runs through the Bible. The people of Israel were pastoral people. They lived out in the country. They lived out in the wilds, in the forests. And so you get this imagery of sheep and shepherds, which makes up that whole of the 23rd Psalm. You know, next to the Lord's Prayer, it has to be, the 23rd Psalm has to be the most well-known passages from the Bible. Certainly for people of my generation and your generation. I can't speak for you lot over there. But if you're not, we'll learn you it, and you'll know it by the time you leave. It's a psalm people invariably reach for whenever crisis strikes. We recite it around hospital beds. We print it on cards that are given out at funerals. We hang it on walls in our homes. We engrave it on plaques and funeral monuments. For generation upon generation upon generation of believers, the 23rd Psalm speaks eloquently of the innermost longings of our hearts. It is a prayer, an affirmation of our belief in the providence of God. The belief that no matter the circumstances, God is constantly involved in our lives. I have a sign on the wall in my study, a plaque. It's a copy of a plaque that was above the door of the psychologist Carl Jung's study. It declares, known or unknown, God is present. Known or unknown, God is present. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And strange as it may seem, for all that it is commonly used at funerals, the 23rd Psalm is not a psalm about death. It's a psalm about life. life that is centered around God. The opening four verses describe God in terms of a shepherd who watches over and cares for us. We are God's sheep. And like sheep, we have a tendency to wander off life's pathways. So we read in the 23rd Psalm that God the shepherd is a generous host, always present, offering us hospitality even in the darkest places of our lives. The scribe of the 23rd Psalm portrays God the shepherd as compassionate and merciful, measuring our days, inviting us into God's house forevermore. We can be sure that Jesus would have been all too familiar with the 23rd Psalm. It comes from the Hebrew Scriptures. So it should not surprise us that certainly the first Christians, and even Jesus himself, for all we know, would refer to himself as the Good Shepherd who cares for his sheep, who guides and protects us from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And as in real life there exists a bond of affection next to twixt vet and animal, you know, the farmer who used to own the farm across the way, Claire Landis, he in another life I'm sure he would have been a philosopher, because he used to read philosophy. The Mennonite, wonderful, wonderful family. And Claire used to come across from time to time and we'd sit for about an hour in my study and we would talk about philosophy and theology, and I would talk to him about, you know, so what's it like running a farm then, you know? Having to get up at daybreak and go and milk the cows whether you feel like it or not. Christmas Day was a working day for him, out and milking the cows twice a day. Getting out into the fields at all hours. I'd see drive by and see him on a night ploughing a field, you know. So on one hand, we're talking to philosophy and theology, and he knew his stuff, and then on the other hand, he'd be telling me what it's like to run a farm. And what you got out of that was this sense that there was, you know, the animal was not just a commodity. It takes some level of affection to do things like that. So, I don't know, it always seems to exist. There's a bond of affection between a vet and an animal, a beast and a farmer. There's a bond of love, so there is this bond of love between Jesus the Good Shepherd and we who are the sheep who follow him. One of the great fathers of the church, St. John Chrysostom, describes Jesus as a good shepherd in this way. When he brings us to the Father, he calls himself the door. When he takes care of us, he is the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. But I don't know whether you noticed this in the 23rd Psalm. We tend to skip over it, we read over it. We shouldn't get too sentimental about the 23rd Psalm either, because it describes the instruments of God's providence in terms of the day-to-day tools of the shepherd. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, the rod that's referred to here is an iron-tipped club. It's an iron-tipped club used by the shepherd as a weapon with which to defend the sheep and occasionally give the sheep the holy clout. And the staff, well, is the staff is a familiar shepherd's crook we're used to. But the shepherd uses it for a purpose, not just to lean on. Its purpose is to prod and pull the sheep out of trouble. When was the last time someone helping you get out of a car got you by the scruff of the neck and pulled you out? That's what the shepherd's crook's for. Unless we get too sentimental about Jesus' words of the Good Shepherd, we need to understand the context in which he was saying these things. He was involved, and I use this word advisedly, a rigorous discussion. I hesitate to say it was an argument. He was involved in a rigorous discussion with the religious authorities about what it means to follow God, or what it means to claim to follow God. They seemed not to have understood what he was telling them. That if we would claim to be shepherds of God's people, we must first learn to be sheep. We must first learn to be sheep in order to recognize God's voice. Think about it. When a lamb is born, the first thing that happens after it's been weaned is the shepherd teaches the lamb to hear his voice or her voice. So it's the same with us. We have to learn to recognize God's voice from the mass of other voices, internal and external, that are out there. So then I finished the sermon. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, you got a baptism. So what are you going to do with an organist who's a vet, nor a vet who's an organist, and shepherds and sheep and the 23rd Psalm and Jesus' description as a good shepherd? How are you going to sort of wrap all that up together to make something meaningful to say about a baptism? A baptism where, in fact, we welcome people into God's sheepfold, if you will, through the sacrament of baptism. And then I was reminded of the name of the baby we're going to baptize, Cecilia. And Simon and Garfunkel came into my head. And I thought, well, there we are. You know, we'll preach a sermon on Simon and Garfunkel. You remember that one? Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart. And I looked up the words and I thought, no, that won't preach. And then I discovered, did I ever know this? Of a Saint Cecilia. She was second century. She died 157, thereabouts. A second century martyr, Saint Cecilia, who amazingly managed to convert her whole family to Christ, and then was martyred during the martyrdoms that took place in the early centuries of the church. We don't know anything much historically about Cecilia other than that she existed, but there's a lot of legends, and we know where she was buried. We also know that since the 4th century, Cecilia has been the most venerated saint in Christian antiquity. And then I discovered that she's the patroness of church music. A vet, come organist, a saint, a patron of church music. And in the Nun's Tale, those of you who are familiar with Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, in the second Nun's Tale, Cecilia is described as the lily of heaven. The contemplation of heaven and the active life. So I thought, if I was to offer Cecilia words of advice, it might be these. Learn to live into your name. And to parents and married couples who are thinking of having children, think carefully about what you name them. They're the ones who've got to live with it, not you. So for Cecilia, learn to live in your name. Lily of heaven. Contemplation of heaven and the active life. The thing that's important about baptisms and weddings and funerals, the reason that they are important rites of the church is they make us remember. They call us to remember. They remind us of all those things that we have once or was once taught or were once taught. I don't know. Things we were taught about who God is. More importantly, what God is. And what it means to claim God in Christ as present in our lives. We need to be reminded of these things. Because we so easily forget them. In a short time from now, and I'm talking to you guys, views guys. In a short time from now, you're going to be making vows. Now, I don't know how you take vows, but those of you who are married will have made vows. Those of you who signed a mortgage will have made vows. You made vows to pay it back. You're going to make vows. You're going to make vows for Cecilia. And those of us who are here to listen to them are going to be reminded of those self-same vows. The vows that we made for our children, or that were made for us when we were baptized. And what those vows will say is that you will promise to teach Cecilia. You will promise. You will promise to teach Cecilia how to listen and hear God's voice. And that implies that we will do the same. That we will do the same. And the vows they make should remind us of the vows we have made and how constantly we must learn to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd amidst all the other voices that are out there. But most of all, Cecilia, don't break any hearts. Whatever ups and downs you may face in life, I pray that you will take comfort, as all people of faith down the centuries have drawn comfort from the words of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that she, as we, can trust that God's unfailing love and protection is always present, even at times when we feel it is not so. And come to understand that when Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd, he's reminding us of an eternal truth. The sole purpose of his ministry, which was that we may have life and have it abundantly. For the God of all the ages is compassionate and merciful, measuring our days and inviting us into God's house forevermore. Amen. Okay, Lily of Heaven, Cecilia.